Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I pray that the Lord would speak to you, not just by the words that come out of my mouth, because, well, I'm limited on what I can convey, and I'm not belittling myself. It's just, you know, when you trust the Lord to speak His word and speak through you, that is a frightening and peaceful thing, if I can say it that way. And I want His word to speak to you and His Holy Spirit to speak to you in things that I could just never say. Because he knows exactly what's going on in your life. And He knows how you think and He knows how you feel. And when you're in a crowd like this, there are things that we can say that is good for all of us. Some of what comes out will be, you know, timely for some of you. But the Holy Spirit knows you, and He's going to speak other things to you that have nothing to do with what's coming necessarily from this pulpit, but He cares for you, and I want Him to move throughout this room and where people are watching today and to speak things to your life. And He will never speak anything that conflicts with the word He has inspired people to write, right, that He reveals the mind of God to. So, all of us have been affected at different levels this week. Because of tragedy that has happened on a campus. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. It's in the Gospel of John, and it's in chapter 12. And Jesus is speaking. He answers those who have questions. So, now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And then Jesus answered them this way. Listen to this. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The word hate here, let me help round that out for us a little bit. It's not so much that we hate in the context of hate. It's just that this life, compared to the life of salvation that God has brought, that will lead us into eternity, this life is so much less. Is this life is still important. But you're acquainted, all of you in this room, well, except maybe a couple of toddlers and infants, you're acquainted with this life long enough that this life can be hard and difficult and sometimes disappointing and hurtful on a personal level, be on a community level, state level, national level, a world stage. And Jesus is sharing a principle here because He's talking about what He is about to do, okay? He's going to lay down His life. So He says these things. "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Amen. Father, glorify your name. Amen. In history, there was a man named Tertullian. And he started out and helped the Christian faith. This is in like the first and second century. So if you're like, hey, I haven't seen his name in the news. Yeah, you won't. Some call him kind of a first father of the Christian faith in that time. There's debate about that. But he started out very orthodox and held to the scripture. Later, he embraced some strange teachings that were off the mark and contrary to scripture. So he left the orthodox that he started with. But he said something during his time, and he said this: the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Those who held to the faith, it cost them their lives. We see Jesus, right, who says unless a kernel falls to the ground, unless he lays down his life in death, there will be no fruit. And we know that he gave his life on the cross. And look at the fruit of his life and death and resurrection. The message of God's mercy and grace and salvation is gone around the world. Are there still some unreached people groups in some remote places? Yes. But the gospel has carried on, and the gates of hell have not prevailed against it. You look through scripture and you can look through some church history and you can look through persecution. You can look through the times where people were martyred and they're still being martyred in places around this world. And the gospel continues to move ahead. I'm not telling you that without martyrs, the gospel won't spread. That's not true. But there's something about people who are committed to believe Christ, whether they're martyred or not, and they live with that passion and understanding because of the salvation they've experienced in Jesus Christ. That they will stand against their culture and they will stand against the time and the era. They will stand against those who don't believe. All of us need to have that kind of private conversation from time to time between us and the Lord. Because we are called to lay down our life, lose our life, to follow the way of Jesus Christ. We commit to it when we're water baptized. I recognize the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And we go under the water, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we go down to a grave. That's the physical representation. We go under that water, and the old man is supposed to die and raised again in Christ a new life. A follower of Christ. A life that's changing, becoming more like him. Devoted follower. Not Christian by nominal title, but by the inward working of the Spirit, which then produces an outward expression of the love of God, the Word of God, the power of God, and the commitment to Christ. Whether he redeems us from the fire or he doesn't, we will not bow. Amen. Charlie Kirk. No question of tragedy. And only the Lord knows the heart of an individual. But the indication that comes is he did what he did was a result of the faith that he had. I don't know all the ins and outs of another person's life or his. But I know that this has actually gripped a good part of the world, not just the United States. Unless a seed falls to the ground, a kernel falls to the ground, it remains alone, but when it is planted, and over time, it grows and sprouts, and there's more fruit. We see that through the life of Jesus Christ. We can see this already through the life of Charlie Kirk. You can go online and you don't know what to believe or where to believe or what all the stuff. But let me tell you something that is true. Because a statistic came out since his assassination, since these few days. Turning Point USA was his organization that he developed. And it was to identify, educate, train, and promote principles of freedom and the limitations of government. And he spoke accordingly. And I'm not asking you to agree with everything he said or not. That is not the point. Since his assassination, that organization, Turning Point USA, that helps students, they have had 32,000 requests to start new clubs on high school campuses and college campuses. 32,000 over a few days. There are things in our life that happen that you and I are, it's a wake-up call, right? Because let's face it, you walk long enough in a culture and surroundings, you and I can become very familiar, and it can bring an eroding to the sharpness by which we are called to live by in our commitment to Christ. Don't mistake this. This is a gospel message. This is not a political message. It's just that something has happened to an individual in the United States that I pray brings a turn to the world and certainly the United States of America. That God would use what has happened as a kernel that falls to the ground. And we're already seeing its effect in many ways in individuals' lives. But 32,000 requests within a few days to say, we need a club on our campus. Reports are starting to spill out of people showing up at church who haven't been there in a long time. Now, I get calls and talk to people about, you know, their life and Christianity and where their faith is at and where they struggle and all of that. Simply because I pastor a church. So I'm a location point, right, for people to talk to. And they talk to you, too, when they know your person of faith. I'm not saying I'm the only funnel. That's not it. I'm just saying that people reach out or see me. And, you know, I bump into people into the community, some who go to this church or call it their home church. They still call me their pastor, but they haven't been here. And as soon as they see me, they go into hi, and they go into an explanation of why they haven't been here. And I'm just like, thanks for sharing all that, but you need to know I know you're not there and you're missed, but you're not on some naughty list that I keep. That, you know, it's not a church attendance thing posted in the lobby, right? That's not it. But are you okay? And I try to talk about life and where they're at. And yeah, it doesn't even always end with an invitation to come back. They already know. And I want them to know that there aren't strings attached. We are here for them whether they attend or not. Okay? And so we want to be used. We want God to bear fruit in our life. And you don't have to be a martyr for that to happen, but certainly martyrs, it seems to be that when it has happened in Scripture that the church flourishes. When we look at church history, we look at even in these days where those who are martyred for their faith, the gospel continues to move. It's just, it's like the devil can't help himself that he continues to overplay his hand. And that God knows how to take that which was meant for evil and turn it around and make something good. We want His Spirit to bring a great awakening, not just to America, but to us. Even those of us who know Christ and have a faith in Christ and have experienced a salvation experience, that there is still this, I need to stay awakened. I need to lay down my life daily, right? Pick up our cross, deny ourselves, lay down our life for the sake of glorifying God, becoming like Him. And that we wouldn't be just filled with the right words, but our life and decisions in private and in public continue to put forth that is what we actually believe and practice compared to what we're saying, that they match. We all fail. I have shortcomings. He's not done with me. I've still got a ways to go. I'm thankful for His faithfulness over my life. But I want to be fruitful. Not so people can say, gee, that guy seems to be fruitful. But that God would look upon my life. Because He's the one that planted the seed. Amen. He's the one that provides the soil and the souls. Amen. His Holy Spirit somehow allows us to water, to plant, but only He can bring the increase. And I want your life and my life to count for the kingdom of God. This life is not just about you. This life is not just about me. If we were to look in the book of Acts, chapter 7, around about verse 54 through 60, there's a man who is faithful to God and spreading the gospel. His name is Stephen. And he gets stoned to death because of his faith in Jesus Christ, his proclamation of Jesus and salvation and doing the works of God. I want you to read it. You get a Bible and read Acts 7. Write it down. Mark it down. Acts 7, you read that chapter. You pay close attention to that first known martyr of the church. And when that ends the chapter in 7, chapter 8 starts, and it says in the first verse that Saul who became the Apostle Paul. Prior to his salvation and faith in Christ, he stood there leading teams to persecute the church. And in 8, verse 1, it says, when Stephen was stoned, Saul stood there, who became the Apostle Paul, stood there and watched with approval. And then you keep reading the historical facts of the book of Acts, and you see the Apostle Paul become converted. Amen. From persecuting the church to one who now will continue to follow Christ, provide leadership to the church, become an apostle, and he himself die for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A transformed life. Fruit. Don't tell me that when he was confronted with Christ, Christ confronted him, and that a dramatic experience of salvation with Jesus. Don't tell me that just a few pages earlier, though more time went by than that, that Stephen wasn't on the mind of the Apostle Paul. And what he witnessed and how Stephen acted in the final moments of his life. Amen. Unless a kernel fall to the ground and die, that it would sprout and bring more fruit. You and I, where are we on the scale? Not in comparison to others. Where are we on the scale between Christ, his word to us, his call to us, his example to us, his Holy Spirit given to us to empower us, and we still have the option to choose to live however it is we want? Not with approval, it's just the decision is left to us. A call to America. We see tragedies come and go. We see some bear fruit for the kingdom of God and some that don't. But how is it that we somehow become a spectator to it, though it affects us? Emotionally, maybe some more than others. But we become a spectator to it in the sense that, yeah, God, hope this is a wake-up for America. And we miss the point that, Lord, not only for America, but is this a wake-up for me? We can't just skip over us. You and I have all been called to follow him as we put faith in him. The hopelessness of earth is overwhelming without the hope of heaven. This life, the difficulties, the darkness, the prince of the power of the air, which, by the way, doesn't have the final word, and the power of Christ in you is greater. Amen. The power of Jesus Christ is greater. Don't back down. Be wise. You don't have to go out and pick a fight. You fight your flesh first. Let the Spirit thrive. Die to yourself. Live unto Christ. And when it's your time, regardless of how you exit this place, let it be that your life would be a kernel that falls into the ground. and that it will sprout and bring much fruit because of how you lived your faith here on earth. You have influence. You say, oh, well, I'm not traveling around on university campuses and speaking, the world's listening to me. Long before that, Charlie had an influence on one person at a time. You have influence on the people around you. You have an impact on them. May the Spirit of God rise up within you, that you would be a devoted follower and a voice of the Lord, and that your life would match that which you proclaim, and that His Spirit would cause you to be fruitful, that we would be the living church here on earth and right here where we live, and understand that your decisions and how you live are an influence because they're observed by your neighbor, by your coworker, by your friend, by a stranger in your community. Those who observe you in all the places you go each day, in the marketplace, work, and certainly at home, where people get to really watch you, know you, and listen to you. What about that fruit? What about your spouse? What about your kids? What about your grandkids? I pray about and try to pay attention to the voice of the Lord in who I should be as a grandpa to my grandkids. Not because their parents are failures, that's not it. Those are their kids, but they're my grandkids. I don't want them just to say, my papa was a preacher. I want them to say other things about their papa. That he loved me. That he cared about me. That I felt important to him. I felt like he noticed me. I listened to him pray. I listen to him talk about the Lord. And he knew how to be funny and have fun with us. Because it built relationship. That when I said something about the Lord, it would fall on good ears. Because they were already an audience. Because they actually liked their papa. That's my prayer. It's my hope. I need God's help to do all that. An influence. It says something interesting. I want you to hear this. I read it earlier when Jesus was speaking in John chapter 12 after he talks about the kernel falling to the earth. He says this, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. In other words, save me from this laying down of my life. He says, it's for this purpose that I've come to this hour. What purpose? What purpose have you come to in your life? What purpose? Circumstance and situations sometimes unfold in our life that we don't care for and we'd really not rather go through. But what purpose will you and I serve in that moment? Will we be like Christ? Lord, I'd sure like this not to happen in my life. But maybe it's His purpose for you. He didn't necessarily bring it on, this difficult thing, but His purpose can be revealed when you and I face difficult times. It's for this hour that you could serve a purpose of being like Christ, that you would glorify God, you would glorify Christ, so that in that moment, fruit would be birthed. Fruit would be shown. A fruit that other people could eat of and find something good and find Christ and maybe find the purpose for which they have been called. Oh, I'm nobody. I'm from nowhere. I'm too old. I'm too this. You can't use those excuses. They've all been used. If you read this, you know they've all been used. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm sorry, you're smart, but you can't come up with anything new. No excuse. For this purpose, Jesus says, this is the hour. He served other purposes up until that time, but that was the hour. And look, the fruit that he is bringing to the Father day after day after day since then. You've been touched by the gospel. You can hear it. That's fruit. The apostles giving their lives, and the gospel just kept going. You can shut down the building, but that's futile because the building's not the church. You are. You and I are. What's your purpose? What's your influence? See, this morning, some of you need to make a decision to put your faith in Christ as your Savior. And you need to commit your life to Him. Commit your life to Him and follow Him through its good times, its hardships, everything. To know Him, follow Him. Some of you need to commit your life to Christ for the first time. Some of you need to recommit your life to Christ this morning. It's you once followed, or you once believed, and maybe it was when you were younger, or you were a kid, or it was pre some event that was horrible in your life, and since then, the cares of life and, you know, have just kind of come and, you know, squelched it all out and choked it out, and you've allowed it to happen. We can't blame anybody else. If it happens, it's because I allowed it to happen. Is there a spiritual battle? Yes. Oh, the devil, he really, oh, this, and oh, the devil. Listen, Jesus Christ is more powerful than them, and if you believe upon Him, He is in your life, and He will empower you. That's it. That's the fact. Some of you need to recommit your life to Christ. Others, you haven't lost any salvation. You haven't walked away from God. You haven't backslid or whatever term you want to use. But today, some of us need to refresh. Because culture and being in it, living in it, living in this world, your culture has diminished some of your clarity that maybe you once had. Slowly diminished your passion for Christ. And one of the ways it has shown up is you are not involved in your purpose and mission in reaching this lost world. We'll be pretty hard-pressed to convince Jesus that we are a devoted follower of His, and yet we're not involved in reaching anybody with the good news of the gospel. Amen. You can be faithful at church, and you can do a lot of right things, and you can, you know, have an affection for the Lord. But if you love him, you will reach the lost. You will, if you love him, feed his sheep. Right? So will you allow Jesus, the ultimate kernel that fell to the earth, that sprouted up fruitfulness for the gospel in your life and for others, will you allow that to be reproduced in your life? Will you look at the examples of Scripture that when they laid down their life, you continued to read in the book of Acts, how the gospel just continued to spread? They were scattered and the gospel spread. The enemy persecuted the Christians, and all of a sudden they spread all over and started sharing the word. He overplayed his hand. Take out a Charlie Kirk, and already it's showing that the enemy overplayed his hand. I want you to stand to your feet, please. Worship team, or Chelsea, you can be the team. Thank you. She's going to play and probably sing and worship the Lord. And why she does that, if you are here and you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ and you need to ask him into your life and forgiveness of sin, and that you will commit to living your life different to follow him, and he will help you, and you'll make mistakes and you might feel a little overwhelmed, listen, he's going to help you. If he didn't, those of us who experience this, we wouldn't be here. He has helped us, and he's still helping me. He will help you. If you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to be sincere enough and bold enough today that when she gets to the point of playing and singing, you would leave where you're seated, where you're standing, and you would just walk down this aisle, and you find a place to kneel, and you talk with the Lord. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to dig into your business. This is between you and the Lord. You come to a old-fashioned altar and say, that's it. I am sacrificing my old life, and I'm picking up a new one because Jesus Christ made it possible. And he will help you. Some of you, you've allowed the concerns of life to choke it out, your faith. You still believe in God, but there's no relationship. You come and you mend that today. You just get out from where you stand and sit, and you just come and find a place to kneel or stand, and you mend it, and you get that right today between you and him. And some of us in this room, though saved, you need to refresh. And you get to an altar that you maybe were once familiar with and reacquaint yourself. And you get refreshed in your commitment and walk with the Lord and your purpose and your understanding, and that your love of God would flourish. And you'd wash off and get rid of the culture that has maybe diminished some of your clarity, diminish some of your passion. You get it right today. I'm telling you with a strong voice, get it right today. I'm not condemning you. I'm not passing judgment on you. I'm too busy judging myself. Because I got to get it right too. I'm not exempt just because I have some letters before my name. We're people. Remove the title. Remove some of the things you might be known by in this world. And it's just you and Jesus.
Amen. Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.